It is now time for the Canadian Four Corner Conversation. All of the big topics in wrestling debated by our panel of experts with a Canadian twist. And now we turn it to the man who calls it down the middle, Mike the Ref, on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Mike the Ref here, the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network, with the Canadian Four Corner Conversation for December. Now, the topic for December here is the best of the year, with a numerous number of categories, so I did have to bring a numerous number of guests here to go through these, because a lot of people's opinions matter, as do yours as well. Please make sure you check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/EdmontonSPN, for all the categories that we want. And please send an email in with your picks. Your picks will be revealed on the year-end show on December 31st, where I give out our Edmonton SPN awards for each of the categories. But this is part one of our Superstar Special here, featuring Andre C. of Wrestling Clarity, the first couple of Edmonton SPN and PWA, Mr. MRB, Ryan Passmore, as well as the Princess Amanda, along with PWA's Frenetico, RCW's Mutato, and fellow podcast member and member of the MPW roster, Chris Parrish. This half of the show will cover all the awards for the WWE, NXT, TNA, ROH, New Japan, with some very interesting picks coming up. So please enjoy part one of the Edmonton SPN Best of 2015 here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Yes, folks. That is how we're starting this podcast here. This is either going to go great or it's going to be an absolute gong show.
I'm going to go
with the gong show. It is Mike the Ref here. This is the December edition of the Four Corner Conversation. This is our best of special.
Dude, it's seven corners, or six corners this time.
It is a full battle royal, this show here. So
this is actually like a TNA ring right now.
If the Irishman was here, he'd be a fucking octagon.
He's the ref, dude. So it's a, it's like a TNA ring.
Six-sided ring. This is the best because I can just sit back and let these guys answer all the questions here tonight, folks.
Which is what he does every other day.
And yep. His opinion doesn't matter anyway.
It really doesn't.
Actually, it doesn't, folks. The biggest thing is your vote matters. This is part one of our two-part end of year special. Just remember, not only is there a beer being cracked, but our final show will be on December 31st, where I will announce the final votes of
that he has no New Year's Eve
each category.
No New Year's Eve.
Obviously not.
Hey, I'm dedicated to my fans here, okay? All three of them. Thank you. Anyway, folks, I could,
I'm on this network, dude.
I highly doubt you have that many.
I'm just going to introduce our guests, and then we can get right into this, so hopefully I can survive by the end of the night.
We only have an hour, and he still has to introduce me. Go ahead.
First of all, I'm going to save him for last after that. First of all, I got Andre C. here of Wrestling Clarity and Quick Calls and
everything on the half the shit on this network.
And yes, he's and hooked on
half
phonics.
Of the room.
I ain't hooked on
third.
Obviously, I'm not hooked on phonics.
And also known as the Pizza Ninja here, but we'll leave that in for later.
And of course, Andre C. and Ninja are not two words you can put together.
Pizza Ninja.
#extra bacon.
Have you seen a delivery guy try to mix a pizza out on this guy? Oh my, those skills are harsh. Anyway, moving on here. We have the first couple of the Edmonton SPN, first couple of the PWA,
hello.
The
Hi.
First couple of
people that are, next couple of people in this room.
Yeah, we'll go with that. We got Mr. MRB 1 point. Ah, let's go 1.01 today.
Oh, closer, right on.
And the Princess of PWA, Amanda.
Hello.
No, fuck it. Just
our next guest is a competitor who has competed in both RCW and PWA this year, most notably in PWA.
Yeah.
He is one of the most accomplished and one of the most improved wrestlers this year. Let's go with that.
Let's go with that.
Not accomplished.
Well, accomplished.
he's accomplished in many things, but wrestling is not one.
He's improved.
Yes. He has victories over Colton Kelly and Tony Cage. That is something, guys.
And Brett Morgan, thank you.
Does he have victories over Mutato or Parrish? No, so he's the least in this room.
Fine. Frenetico, welcome regardless.
I don't feel welcome.
Shoot from us. You shoot from this side of the room.
Yeah, we're good.
And up next, he has competed in RCW currently. Well, computed is a relative term, of course.
Formerly from MPW.
Formerly from MPW, yes. He was a hell of a broadcast partner, I'll admit that, for our November show. For RCW. Mutato, welcome to the show. Oh. Mr. T, by the way, what a call that. Mutato with a T.
There you fucking go.
You learn how to spell.
Oh, he will never learn how to fucking spell.
I will never spell his name right, just for the hell of it.
Yeah, but even though I keep telling them.
Speaking of spelling, speaking of monikers, speaking of so many accolades, well, unfortunately, this guy, I got a funny feeling that he stuffed the Irishman in a trash can or a dumpster or something so he could get in on this.
No, I put him on a treadmill.
Oh,
and they called the paramedics, right?
He is the 2050 Leo Burke Cup winner. He is the PPW Cruiserweight Champion. He is the MPW Provincial Champion. He is currently listed in the PWI Top 500, which will remind you many times.
42.
There you go. Chris Parrish, member of the One World Order, welcome to the show.
One World Empire.
You can't even blow a spot past internet.
I always correct you on that, motherfucker.
Yeah, I know.
Every time.
You guys are so lucky I'm joining this podcast. I'm going to show you
podcast,
guys.
You're blowing the spot,
at least he's been drinking real alcohol.
Hey, when you guys want to be a podcast, I'll start saying you guys are a podcast.
Alright, guys, we're 5 minutes in and we haven't got even to the topics yet here. The focus of this show
we're ahead of schedule.
Is to bring up our favorites for this year. So we're going to be going over the best. First of all, we're going to go through the promotions that have gone through TV, such as WWE, NXT, ROH, TNA, New Japan, that kind of stuff.
Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground as well. Let's not forget them.
TV one.
We'll start going over the categories. Everybody will give their opinions. But don't forget to submit your votes into the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. I threw my email out there, theblowcallshow@gmail.com. Please submit them in by this Friday, Christmas Day. As most people say, I don't have a life already.
I don't see a fucking Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Where's
the Christmas? I thought this was supposed to be festive.
I'm getting that.
You got guests over and there's no fucking Christmas
tree. I'm getting that poll for Festivus, okay?
Okay.
You finally have a girl in your apartment. Get that unfired mistletoe. Come on.
I thought we were going, you finally got a girl to get the pole ready.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was actually expecting.
Anyway, folks, let's get back on the tracks here. Send it into theblowcallshow@gmail.com. But let's get on to these categories so you have some ideas who to work with. First of all, let's go with Male Wrestler of the Year. And I see Andre's got his iPad ready to go already, so.
Yeah.
Fucking homework.
Over the year, it's a tough pick. For me, my personal pick's Kevin Owens. He came out, first win against John Cena. He hasn't had the greatest year, but he's picked up again since about September. Won the Intercontinental. Had some couple good spots, I thought. And before that, with NXT, I thought he was great there. So, I give it to him. He's personally my pick. I thought he had a great year. But I know there's a lot of other guys that had great years too, Seth Rollins, others. But to me, it's Kevin Owens.
Okay, Amanda?
I'm going to mention one that you already mentioned. I agree with you that Kevin had an amazing year, but I'm going to go with Seth Rollins because I just think he was an incredible entertainer as well as an amazing wrestler. And I know Ryan and I both agree on this, and he probably has more to say, so go ahead.
I picked Rollins. He won the title at Mania, held it till he was hurt. Solid on the mic and great matches every time he was out there, and he was, you know, he's working heel, and everyone's cheering him anyway because he's so good. And the product's been pretty much unwatchable since he went down.
Outside of this,
story. The product's been unwatchable since freaking SummerSlam.
Well, you're not wrong, but
it's been made a lot worse since
he's been gone. Like that's they're missing so many top guys right now. It's just it's ridiculous, and he's the top guy.
All right, it's Frenetical.
I'm going to go with Seth Rollins as well, because he's a guy that, whether you love him or you hate him, he's entertaining. He's good. He always has good matches, doesn't matter who's wrestling, and he's a guy who tells you he's the best, and he's going to have the best match of the night, and he does.
Which Adam?
Jay Lethal, tomorrow.
Nice pick. Nice pick.
Yeah, the only fucking guy I have to pick a WWE guy. Sorry, but I have to say Jay Lethal.
Any particular reason?
Because he's fucking amazing. If you actually watch him... Not only can he fucking work, he can talk, and there
he's
you go.
Parrish.
That's it.
Well, if you don't want to go WWE guy, I'm going to go me.
I don't fucking care if you go with a WWE guy.
No, we're talking about TV side. Yeah, we'll get to the indie.
We'll get to you in a second.
Here. We'll talk Western Indies in a little bit.
I don't care about TV.
Okay.
But if we're going to go with TV, then you know what? Love him or hate him, you gotta always give it to John Cena because it doesn't matter what point of the show he's on. He's always the most over. And like CM Punk said a few years ago, he's always gonna get that reaction. It doesn't matter if you main evented WrestleMania, it doesn't matter if you main evented their show. At the end of the day, who do you always remember? You always remember the most over guy, and John Cena is always with the most over guy. I look at 2015, the most over thing I've ever saw all year is the U.S. Open Challenge. That was by far the most best wrestling I've ever saw all year with the WWE, which is a top promotion of the year. John Cena was a catalyst of that, and that's why I picked John Cena.
Great pick.
You can't argue with that one.
Let's move on to our next one, and Andre, you're not going first on this one.
That's fine.
Female wrestler of the year.
Like a motherfucker.
And of course, I'm going to let Amanda go first on this one, of course.
That's very kind of you, Mike.
But usually Andre comes first.
Well, I want the real women, not the fake ones.
Ball angle.
I just expect it from Parrish and Tato.
I'm going to find the gong here somewhere later, folks. But Amanda, please, your pick.
Yes, I have been super impressed with the women this year in professional wrestling. But mine would have to go, it was tough, to Paige. I feel like, and it might be because I just like her attitude and the way she is and type of persona she portrays. but I just feel like she is a badass no matter what she does, who she's working, what she's doing. She gives it the effect that it matters and that she will kick ass no matter what.
Ryan?
I pick Paige as well. So I think she's putting on.
Do you see a trend here?
It changes quick.
I was gonna say it changes.
It changes real quick. But honorable mentions to Sasha, Charlotte, Bailey, everyone really in all the women in NXT. I think it's been a really good year for women's wrestling, and hopefully it continues and doesn't kind of fizzle out like it has in the past.
Andre.
I'm going to say Sasha Banks.
He fucking rants.
Mostly due to her NXT performance from this year. Sasha had a great year in NXT as a champion. She lost it there in Brooklyn to Bayley, and then came back, had a wonderful main event at the next TakeOver special. Honestly, Sasha Banks, to me, is probably one of the best females on TV this year.
Mr. Frenetico?
I'm going to go with Bayley. And that's because not because the gimmick of what she does, the whole hugger thing, is I'm really here with that. Her in-ring matches are really good, and to me, that's really what I'm watching when I'm watching wrestling. I'm more about how competitive the match is and how good the match is. And I just recently watched her match against Nia Jax, who's very green, and it was enjoyable.
Good.
It was a good match. So someone that can work with anybody and pull off a good match, and it's a believable match, and it's something that I would like to see again. So that's my pick.
I'm a little scared to ask, Mr. Hurtado.
Why are you scared? I would have to
anyway.
Naomi. No. Yes, let's stick with the black theme. No. Actually, I was thinking Gail Kim, actually.
Yeah.
For her work in TNA. Like, the girl she has to work with, she's fucking actually doing amazing, considering what she has to work.
Absolutely. Especially now you got probably one of the more credible wrestlers that could work with her, Tara Terrell, just ups and gives up for Christianity, basically. So
it's okay. Yep. She's hot.
Yeah.
She can say "Oh God" as many times as she likes.
Mr. Parrish, your pick.
Well, my pick, it's kind of weird, because if you want to look at it, you got to almost give it to the entire Divas Revolution, because it really took them all to make women's wrestling relevant in 2015. Sure. But if you want to have an MVP, it's hard to say if it's somebody that came out of NXT, or is it somebody that was a catalyst of wanting the change, and that was Nikki Bella, because in all honesty, her reign, she improved the greatest, I would say. But if you want to say who your best technical wrestler was, it's either Bayley, it's either Sasha Banks, so take your pick. Bayley might actually be the biggest answer there, just because you want to see her on the roster the most, and you want to see Sasha Banks get more of an opportunity the most. I think everyone, you know, Paige is a great worker, nobody's going to take that away, but at the same time, I mean, she's pretty stale and stagnant to where she's been from when she came up. Bayley, at the same time, she has only grown from the beginning of the year till now. And so is Sasha Banks, because she really took leaps and bounds from when she was with Becky Lynch and Charlotte, and all of a sudden now she is controlling her own faction on the WWE roster. The only thing is she's not a relevant member of the Divas title on the main roster, while Bayley is having consistently great matches every single time that the women's title is defended in NXT. So I almost have to say, by quality of matches, you got to go with Bayley.
Yeah, good pick there. Moving on now. Tag Team of the Year. Ryan, I'll let you go first on this one.
I'm going to implement the Freebird rule and say the New Day, because they are by far the most entertaining thing on WWE television right now. I'm going to throw in an honorable mention to Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, who are rolling super good before, well, I guess both of them got hurt, I guess. But New Day for me, I think it's going to be hard to argue that, at least on WWE programming. There's a lot, if you go to Japan or ROH, but for me, for WWE, it has to be New Day.
Amanda?
So we don't continue to match. I completely agree with you.
Close, but okay.
Totally. But I'm going to throw out Undertaker, Demon King, just because that just made me feel really good.
They had the one match in Survivor Series, yeah. I guess you'd go with that.
And I just enjoyed the lightning and the fire, and that's it.
Cool.
But I agree with you completely. It's New Day.
Andre?
Kingdom, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, they had a great year this year.
Broken up.
What?
Bless you.
Yeah, no, they're breaking up.
I know, but they had a great 2015. They were early tag champions. They had a great year, so I think the Kingdom had one of the best years as a tag team.
Okay. Frenetico?
I'm going to go with the Usos. Saw them live, really enjoyed their work, and everything they do on TV is fast-paced, exciting, which I like. They've worked with everybody. They were tag champs for a while. And they have the history, so they had a lot of weight on their shoulders right when they got in the door to perform and be better than so many other people, and I felt like they delivered.
Ricardo?
Well, it has been and always will be Team 3D. Since they came back to WWE, the only reason why I actually watch is hope to God they'll put somebody through a fucking table.
Mr. Parrish?
The theme is Mutato here likes wood.
I love wood, yes. That is my thing.
I think 2015 saw the resurgence of the tag team division, if you want to go WWE standard. There's a lot of great tag teams. I mean, if you go NXT, I think there are really four great tag teams, and that's Dash and Dawson, the NXT tag champions. You got Enzo and Cass, who, even though I think Enzo might be one of the greenest workers I see in NXT, just the pairing of him and Big Cass is just fantastic to watch and entertaining. But then you also see Blake and Murphy, who I thought had probably one of the best first halves of NXT of the year. And then the resurgence of Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, who I think are going to be one of the best tag teams to come. And then you jump up to the main roster and you have Usos, you have Cesaro and Kid, you have the New Day, and you know what, even the primetime players, for a little bit they showed that they can actually hang. The end of the day, I mean, it's hard to say who's better than the New Day right now, because they are not only the most entertaining thing on the show, but they're actually the most solid entity right now going in wrestling. So it's hard to go against them. The Usos are quite second, but I'm always going to put money in Jason, Jordan, and Chad Gable because I think they are a tag team you're going to want to watch.
Best thing you can say about that category is you had six different people answer, and you pretty much got, I'd say, five or six different answers between them.
Not to mention, you had a tag team tournament this year in the honor of Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
And you saw a bunch of tag team action that I think should be a mainstay for here to come. Every year, I would love to see a tag team show.
Definitely.
That'd be cool.
Agreed.
I mean, only if an indie company in Edmonton has a show dedicated to tag team wrestling.
Only one.
Or trios. You never know. But moving on, our next category is going to be Rookie of the Year. Now, to us, a rookie is somebody who has made their first year impact on a promotion. Could be somebody who's worked a while. If he's not been well-known and then moved on to a scene and then just jumped out at everybody, I think that's pretty much what you're going to consider a rookie at this point. Andre, you like these long definitions.
My Rookie of the Year, and I've got an honorable mention. My Rookie of the Year, if you're going by the standards, it's Kevin Owens. He only debuted in December, in WWE of December last year. You know what I mean.
I think Kevin Owens was
still qualified. Kevin Owens, because he really had his year this year. He dominated NXT, won that title in his essentially second match in NXT, and then had a good feud with John Cena, won the Intercontinental title, has had a pretty good year. Had a good showing in that WWE title tournament. It's hard to deny him Rookie of the Year. I have an honorable mention in Stephen Amell at SummerSlam. I'm a huge Arrow fan, and getting to see him in the ring and his first time in, he actually did a pretty good job for a guy just coming in, just trained up, recent, and working a high profile match at a big pay per view of the year. And I thought Stephen Amell is just my honorable mention for Rookie of the Year.
Okay, Amanda.
I'm going to go with, if you can use Owens, then I would like to use Owens as well.
Yep.
Because I guess his WWE debut was in May, so I guess that counts.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Kevin Owens, because exactly what Andre had mentioned before, came in, he won the Intercontinental Championship, he had amazing matches with John Cena. I think it's hard to mention anybody else.
Brian?
Was Owens' first feud with Cena?
In WWE.
On the main roster.
On the main roster. And
that's huge.
I don't think you could have anyone else as Rookie of the Year for WWE other than Owens coming in and making that kind of a splash right away. And just the quality of his work every night. Like, he's still fun to watch. A lot of stuff I find gets stale pretty quick when it's packaged the way WWE packages it, and I don't find him to be that way, so I have to pick Owens.
Fernandico?
Yeah, I can't say anything any different. Kevin Owens is the only guy that sticks out in my mind right away when you say Rookie of the Year, because he's done so much in such a short period of time. I really hate the way that WWE's kind of... They brought him up right away with John Cena, had him go over real quick, and then did nothing with him. They kind of wasted him, and he kind of floundered, but he was still having good matches, but they're not doing anything with him, and he's a guy that you can't just do nothing with.
I thought they did a good job with him in that tournament, though. Giving him the promo time, letting him dominate on a guy like Titus O'Neil, and have a couple good matches in that tournament.
More recently, the last month or two has been better. And, of course, going and winning the Intercontinental title was a big step. But otherwise, he's must-see TV.
He's essentially their top heel.
Yeah.
Mutaro?
I'm going to step away from the Kevin Owens love fest over here. And honestly, go with Charlotte, because it is her first year in WWE.
Yep.
And she's been doing amazing. She won the women's title. She's finally starting to turn heel a little bit. I think that's the way she should take it. Be more like her dad.
Mr. Parrish?
Oh, God, she's going to go through so many marriages. I'm going to also go away with Kevin Owens, even though... there's a lot of good things to say about Kevin Owens. The only bad thing is he was stale at some point after this John Cena thing. And that's only because after John Cena, the only place to go is the heavyweight championship. And we can all honestly say he wasn't there at that time yet. That is why I'm going to go with someone who steadily always was on the rise and has never dropped a single point in their first year. And that is the NXT champion, Finn Balor. It does not matter where he is on NXT. He is the number one guy you want to go see when you're at Full Sail University. Not to mention, he's gone to Japan, sold it out, main evented it. They go to London, sold it out, main evented it. Who is the one call-up from NXT you want to see more than anything?
Finn Balor.
That is Finn Balor. The only exception is might have been Samoa Joe, but that's more because of the name than what he's done in the company. Finn Balor might actually be one of the best WWE superstars in years to come once he hits that stage. Finn Balor, I don't think, will have that stale period Kevin Owens did. That is why I give him the Rookie of the Year nod.
Well, I also would bring Finn Balor up. I don't think they're going to put him against John Cena to start with. So I think he's going to have a steady rise in WWE too when he gets up the main roster.
All right, well, that's a good segue here because our next category, talking about who to put him up against, Feud of the Year this year. A lot of the feuds, let's admit it, they got stale really quick. A lot of the pro shows, especially TNA with the debacle with the World Heavyweight title, we'll get to that in our duds later on.
Which time?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's very true.
Andre, you got a pick?
Honestly, dude, to me, it's hard to pick. Dude, I don't really have a feud of the year because a lot of the feuds are just, they happen for, like I have feuds for when we talk indie, but the feuds on the rosters, but you happen for maybe Roman and Bray. That's about it because
that was a horrible fucking feud.
But this is the only real feud
we can remember. That's the
problem. It's the only real feud of the year. Everything else they wrestled, like Kevin Owens and Cena had their couple months, and then that was it. So I don't know. I really don't have a true pick for feud of the year.
Does anybody here?
I do.
All right, Amanda, go ahead.
I took Charlotte and Sasha. Because in NXT, that feud was amazing, and it catalysts into the WWE and the Divas Revolution, and just how amazing they are separately, together, on the same side, opposing sides.
What a sweet match.
All right, Ryan,
I'm going to throw it a little aside here, right, real quick, before I get into the feud. Agree with the Charlotte thing, but I really think with developing her character, they have to get her away from Rick a little bit. Because, like, right now, her character is just based on her having a family. It's like her brother's dead and her dad's Rick.
I just want to interrupt you for one second.
She can stand on her own.
With the exception of every single arena she's in and her claiming it's her house, what else can you talk about explaining who Paige is and who is Charlotte?
Well, that's true. They have to develop everybody.
That is more of a booking thing than anything else. And
no, 100% it is.
That is one of the things that is taken away from these women actually going from the Revolution to being a true main event is nobody's invested from a character standpoint in these chicks because the booking does not tell you who these people are.
Yeah. Let's not worry about that. We got a special spot for WWE Creative here coming up on our list.
I said my feud of the year, Cena Rollins. The whole title versus title thing, I thought that was well done at parts, and it's kind of the only real thing that stood out and was a little bit memorable.
Luchado?
I'd have to go with the recent one with Lethal and Styles.
Yes.
Jay Lethal and AJ Styles and ROH.
And it led up to a pretty damn good match, too.
Yes, which is my match of the year.
Mr. Parrish?
Well, if I can't go JJ Spade and Raunchy Jules,
you can't let him. Don't worry.
That's a personal feud.
You know what? When it comes to TV feuds, I think I'm still going to go with Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, because no matter how many times you put them in the ring, they had phenomenal matches, but with their history, I believed every little thing they did.
Yeah.
Every little thing. Especially when the ice bucket challenge happened, and you saw the Ambrose throw it in the base and then just beat him up. That was cool. But at the same time, the history with the feud, it adds to it. And even if you want to go back to the whole, if it's Roman Reigns getting screwed over time in, time out again, then it's the same thing because I think the authority and Roman Reigns is a good one too because you finally saw a point of it just happen with TLC and Raw to a point where now everyone is talking about it. The problem with the mainstream TV right now is there's not a buzz after a show. But after TLC, you finally, I thought, had a real true buzz about what you just saw. And I think that is something what's missing. So if you can generate that buzz at the end of a show, then I think you're finally starting to do something. But when it comes to what I believe in Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose every single time I saw it.
I do. I did think one. As I've watched a bunch of New Japan cards after they've happened, and it's Okada and Tanahashi. You had them going again this year, Wrestle Kingdom. Their feud hasn't been them fighting. It's just them setups for, again, this year. And to me, that's a feud. If you can keep these two at least interested in working together, they face off a few times over the year, and it's been good, and they're setting up for another, the same match as last year, same main event. I think that was a good, actually a really good feud this year.
I think the one thing you can bring up, based on the suggestions here, and also the lack of suggestions, is the fact that the one advantage we have in the indies versus what we have at the TV level, per se, is the attention span of the fans. You can get away with a longer standing feud when it comes to the indie shows, but in the pro shows, they go for a month, month and a half, 2 months.
Well, they have to work each other every week versus the indies working each other once a month.
And all, and a bunch of an issue, too, that you have to go against that is with WWE, a lot of their feuds don't last more than a couple weeks, let alone a month. So therefore, you can't really get invested as a fan, as a viewer, even as anything else, because there's really no development and there's no build-up to it. I mean, I can only... And we mentioned the Kevin Owens for the Rookie of the Year. To be quite honest, after their first match, going into that second match, I just wanted to see Kevin Owens win the title. But then you see, I thought the exact same match from the month before, and then you had John Cena go over. So it was more of a letdown because, A, I didn't think they did anything that different from the first match, and I also didn't get the end result that I personally wanted, which... I think more than just me wanted to see Kevin Owens walk away with the U.S. title.
Now, so it's nice to see Cena get his ass kicked.
Speaking of matches, and I know that Matata jumped the shark here a little bit, let's get into match of the year here.
Go to Matata first.
Of course. You want to go back to your Styles and Lethal match?
AJ Styles and Jay Lethal, which happened on Friday, which was a great freaking match.
Absolutely.
It was a pay-per-view for ROH, which doesn't happen often. But it was freaking amazing. Like, those two, they've worked each other probably close to a billion fucking times. But that match was still new and freaking wanting to watch.
All right, Cole.
I'm going to go with Undertaker and Brock Lesnar from Hell in a Cell. It was brutal, violent, vicious, everything that we've come to see from Brock Lesnar. But also, personally, I feel Undertaker's last few matches, sometimes I come away somewhat disappointed because they build up the hype and it's not even possible for the guy to be able to reach the hype that WWE builds up for him. But this was a match where I felt that they built it up, and then they delivered, and it was really exactly what I was hoping for.
Ryan?
This was a match that stuck out in my mind, and I took it match of the year. I didn't necessarily think like best match of the year, but it was the match that kind of, for some reason, I really got invested in, was Brock Roman at Mania with the Rollins cash in. That was stiff as hell at points. Like, I thought they were hitting each other like hard for, like, I was scared for Roman for a lot of it. And then the cash in, I half expected it but didn't, and I got super fired up about it. So that was definitely my match of the year.
Amanda?
I kind of took it the same way Ryan did. Maybe not the best match, but the one that stuck out in my head was, yeah, Sasha Banks and Bayley at the NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn.
Yep.
It just overshadowed everything else that was done. I watched it the first time and was just stunned, and then when I watched it again, you could really see they're two warriors in that ring, and the way that Sasha worked it, and Bayley just kept coming back, and then the reverse hurricanrana to finish the belly-to-belly was amazing.
Andre?
Well, I'll agree. I wrote my list before Final Battle, and I have a couple. I'll bet that Final Battle match, Styles and Lethal, I'll agree with Tato, amazing match. It had a great build up. Two guys you'd actually never really seen in the ring before, maybe a couple times in TNA on one off matches, but with both guys where they're at now in their careers, had a fantastic match, fantastic feud, I thought. And then I'll also give props to that Sasha Banks and Bayley match. But for me, it actually, Royal Rumble this year, Cena, Brock Lesnar, and Seth Rollins. I don't know, I just really enjoyed that match. I thought all three worked so well in that match, and the ending with Rollins hitting that forfeit, that Phoenix Splash, and then Lesnar in to pick up the win. I thought just a great match with a good ending, I thought.
Mr. Parrish?
Well, I think if you definitely want to go Divas match or women's match, depending on how you look at it, there is absolutely no comparison to the Bayley-Sasha Banks match. The only one I would say was Bayley versus Nia Jax at the last takeover, because I thought that was, from a psychology point, such a good story. And I was so invested from bell to finish, especially with Asuka and Emma. Even though I have different opinions with that finish, I thought that match was phenomenal. Not a lot of time.
I expected my favorite Divas match of that show to be Emma and Asuka, not Bayley and Nia.
To be honest, that might be the best opener of any show I saw this year. But I think for my match of the year, you may go back to WrestleMania, but it's not the triple threat at the end. It is Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
That's one of my moments of the year. You get the best RKO outside of the Evan Bourne Randy Orton one.
I actually thought that one was better than the Evan Bourne one.
But at the same time, start to finish, you believed everything they did. You were invested in everything they did. You were I think everyone actually expected Seth Rollins to win.
Yep.
And then when you saw that finish, you were not only blown away, but you're just like, holy shit, this was awesome.
Mike, pull up the predictions from that. I want to know what we picked for that match. I know I picked Rollins on that one.
But I picked Orton things.
But it was one of those times where it got you at the edge of your seat the entire match just because of the way they told the story. Another match that I loved, which is probably a well-unknown match, but it was a triple threat match between, I believe it was Tyson Kidd, Cesaro, and the United States champion at the time, which I believe it was, I'm trying to think, it was right before John Cena, but I think it might have even been Dolph Ziggler, but it was just the amount of counters they had were just phenomenal, and you saw a bunch of action, and it was start to finish, you didn't care who won, you just wanted to see it keep going, and it was phenomenal.
Ref bump.
This is one I know nobody picked, and this is from last month's TLC match, or TLC pay-per-view, and that's the tag team title match between the Lucha Dragons, the Usos, and the New Day.
Good, but not spectacular.
I have three things that I will personally pick about that. Outside of the first 10 minutes, how many times did somebody climb the ladder trying to win? That absolutely irritates me in a ladder match. How often nobody climbs the ladder to go for the match.
Well, nobody needs to climb a ladder if the other guy doesn't get handcuffed first.
When the New Day are throwing down 10-plus minute promos about how much they are against the violence, and they do not steer away from it and go for that easy win, that bugs me. Two, that match I don't think should have been the opening of the match, because you have to have a match after it. I think Kalisto and that... you can call it whatever you want, but we all know that's the Ultimo Dragons finish.
Sleep on Assault.
That might have been the moment and the move of the night, but at the same time, you try to tell me another match that had a shot to beat that. And then you had about six other matches that followed.
Yeah, but to me, it's like, to me, I look at that match and go, well, it's a triple threat ladder match, but to me, it's not a ladder match that ever lived up to any ladder match before. Like any of the tag team ladder matches we had, that's what I compared that match to. It was good, but not as good as the other tag team ladder matches I've seen. That's why I wouldn't put that as my.
I think Parrish is really also. You got to look at it from a wrestler's point of view. When you see a match like that opening the show, and you know you got to go out there afterwards, you really got to think, okay, I really got to step up my game. What the hell am I going to do now? That's going to be bigger or better or more spectacular than that guy just did without killing myself. So it really, you might even say it's somewhat disrespectful for the guys in the back that still have to come out and wrestle afterwards, because you're going to burn the fans out 20 minutes into the show, and maybe you've had it built up over time, and you're going to go out there and the fans don't give a shit because they've already seen someone almost get killed.
Fair enough.
That's not exactly what I meant. I just thought if you're going to start the show with that, I would have started with either Rusev and Ryback, or I would have started with the Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose title switch, and I would have built up to a match like that, because I thought that match deserved more of a semi-main event spot than an opening match.
I agree.
This is starting to sound like a promo, which is a perfect segue into our next category here, which is promo of the year. And Andre seems to be chomping at the bit right now.
Oh, no. To me, Rollins, it's hard to pick. Rollins had some great promos this year. Rollins had some great promos. Owens had great promos.
Did you say Reigns had great promos?
Rollins.
Okay.
Reigns should never come home. Reigns should never speak again. Needs manager. Rollins.
Like, you didn't like the tater tot one?
No.
Next!
I thought Rollins had great promos this year. Owens and John Cena had. It's hard to argue that Cena wasn't, like, to me. Like, I can't put up a super promo, but because he's always a passionate and he always gets the crowd fired up with his promos, so I'd have to give it to Cena. Just because he was probably the best guy doing promos this year.
Ryan, your best promo?
I'm not going to pick one, but I thought the guy that got people invested in him with promos more than anybody else was probably Rollins during that whole rise, but I think best promo goes to Paul Heyman every time he's there.
Yeah.
Like no matter what show he's on, it's the best promo.
With this category, from the
it's hard to pick one.
From the stuff I've received, is there any particular promo itself that you?
Not that I can think of right now. I'd probably figure one out if I had some time, but I don't think I can think of one off the top of my head.
I looked at it more as who had the consistently better promos there, and I thought Heyman's great. I thought it was more worker side.
The one that I've been receiving, and I don't know if you guys would agree with this or not, from the fans sending them in so far, the Glory Glory Brock Lesnar.
That one was pretty genius.
Where Paul Heyman was basically on his hands and knees singing praises to Brock Lesnar there. That seems to be one of the biggest ones. Amanda?
I agree with Ryan. We take it more of a holistic. There's no one that can come out there and do a promo like Paul Heyman can.
Frenetico?
I'm just going to go with Kevin Owens in general, because he's a guy that everybody cheers when he gets out there. He cuts a promo, everybody boos him, and is not done. That not the point? Is that not what he's trying to do?
That show at Edmonton is a perfect example of that. Yeah,
exactly.
Everybody was cheering him, and then bam, he had them hate him.
And then that's where I was looking for him. And you cringe because you're he's right though. That's the problem, right? He says all these things Edmonton sports team do kind of suck, but you shouldn't say that kind of thing, right? So that's why I like that kind of thing. He really bites you, and when he gets into the ring. You do want to see someone go down there and kick his ass.
Mm-hmm. This is coming from the guy wearing the Toronto Maple Leafs hat, saying Edmonton sucks.
Not disputing the Leafs don't suck.
I will say the best thing about Kevin Owens this year was the Edmonton show, where a certain gentleman as part of the group started a chat. Would you like to bring it up, sir?
No, you're already talking about it. That's all I need.
Chris Parrish trending on the internet now.
What else is new?
This time I have my pants on.
Your promo of the year, sir?
Oh, it's not my promo. It's a chant. But, no, my best promo of the year, I think you can go with Paul Heyman, anything he does. But at the same time, that's not really saying that's an exact promo. We talked about his Glory Glory one. But at the same time, what about the New Day?
Yeah.
What chance. About...
Yeah, I totally didn't think of that.
When you come down to it, that who more
now
had
picking the black guys.
A mission to prove to the fans in 2015? Was it Paul Heyman, where everybody already knows you're amazing at promos? Because in reality, what does Paul Heyman do outside of promos?
Nothing. That's why I picked Cena.
I mean, if that's the case, then we're going to pick something other than sucking a dick for Jenna Jameson to be relevant in the 90s. You invited me, and this is what you're getting. But at the end of the day, the New Day literally were supposed to be a face group. They were hated on, and they took the ball. They ran with it. They made everything their own. And with the absolute addition of the trombone, which has made its way into matches, who cannot say that anything the New Day does, especially when they were in Nashville, when they did their little country style thing? That's my promo. Because who didn't like Kofi Kingston flat out saying, this isn't my character, but country music sucks.
The New Day, one of the best ones against here with Edge and Christian. They're backstage with Edge and Christian, and Christian pulls out the kazoo. Like, the tiger with the trombone, Christian starts playing the kazoo, and then Big E eats the kazoo.
And
he literally stuffs his mouth and tries to chew on it, then just spits it out on the ground. I thought that was genius.
Well, you didn't finish it. Then the Dudleys show up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this
all of a sudden the chance, get the tables.
But if I'm also going to compare anyone to Paul Heyman right now in promos, it is Bray Wyatt.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes down to a promo, Bray Wyatt does not fail.
You have to listen to every word he says, but that's the point. You
have to listen
to every word
it's,
that he says.
It's like the Jake the Snake thing, too, where he speaks softly, but it makes you listen more.
Right? It makes you want to. And even if you didn't understand everything that he was saying, you felt it, and that was important.
Yeah. All right, and Mr. No Filter Mutado, as is on hashtag No Filter hat on.
They've already took my fucking answer.
Yeah, yours was Darren Young coming out, right?
That happened last year, actually.
Well, you know, it's still relevant.
Yeah,
all right, and our last...
Darren Young pulling it out. There you go.
Our last segregated item for the for the TV group.
You can't even spell that word. Why are you saying it?
He can't even say it.
Hebbida, hebbida, hebbida. Our last category here for the TV group. The top three things you are looking forward to in 2016 from the TV group of shows. Who would like to go first?
That is two things. Yeah,
say time
the right one
two,
and the
top
left
two
one.
Two or top three? Did you say?
Top
either
three.
One. I got three.
You got three? Go three.
Oh. Top three things to see in 2016: a Zayn Owens feud in WWE.
Yes.
On the big stage, that'd be sick. Finn Balor coming out number one at the Royal Rumble, doing the full entrance as the number one entrant, and Austin Brock at Mania. Because that's happening.
I don't know it's happening.
No, Austin is flat out said he's done.
Everybody said because nobody's ever said they're not coming back and then come back on.
With all due respect, I would agree with you up until I saw the Stone Cold podcast.
That's guaranteed me they weren't doing it.
If you said, no, the shape that Austin was in during
he looks
podcast.
Even worse on the Shawn Michaels when he looks even
that's
worse.
That's what I said.
He looks so good, though. Look at his pictures he just put up on Instagram. There's no way he looks that lean without taking his shirt
okay,
off.
Okay, we'll argue this later on.
Okay, whatever.
Just yeah, just
we're
yeah,
just talking about freaking the gay guys. Now we're talking about freaking Austin looking good. Jesus.
I had Zayn. I had Finn coming out number one at the Royal Rumble. And just less Triple H. I don't like that.
More
staff, less trips.
Okay, Andre, you're dying at the bit.
Well, I want to see, number one, is Tyson Kidd come back. I don't know if he can, because he's still healing. I hope to God, because he's one of the best guys in that business. I want him to come back. So, Chris?
I can say he is.
Okay, good.
At some point. I do talk to him on a weekly basis. He will come back.
I'm just saying, because it was such a big injury. Sometimes you think you'll recover. I want to see him back this year because him and Cesaro get back together and just...
If you've seen Total Divas, it's either him coming back or him spending more time with the wife. He will come back.
Yeah, that's true. And I want to see Dean Ambrose win the title next year. The WWE title. Simple as that. I'm a Dean Ambrose fan. I'd like to see it. That's just me. I'm a fan of him, so... And... Just, I want to see Finn Balor make his debut. I'm hoping night after WrestleMania, because I don't think he should be brought up in the lead up to Mania, because you lose focus on him at that point. I think he needs to be brought up the night after with a new goal, and that's how you build him.
Mr. Frenetico?
Sort of a fantasy booking sort of category. One, less of the authority. I just think it's worn out. Mm-hmm. It's fine for what it is, but. You know, they did get rid of it for that very short period of time. Was it last year where after Survivor Series? Yeah, and then they brought it back right away. And it's just tired and it's worn out. I don't know what would replace it, but something else. I really enjoyed the King of the Ring pay-per-view as a kid. I'd love to see that type of pay-per-view come back. Just a tournament style where it's not necessarily storyline driven, but it's just matches. And
like, I enjoyed that network special they did that just focused on King of the Ring.
Yeah,
that was great.
And the 93 King of the Ring when I was a kid, I loved it. And I still, to this day, go back and watch it because I really enjoyed it. I don't like how they always have heels sort of win it now, but
or
nonetheless.
Or the fan of 94.
King of Hearts.
Yeah.
Woo!
And then my third thing would be calling up that crop of divas from NXT and bringing them up to the WWE main roster. Because I think having more divas in the main roster would be good, because some of them are fun to watch, but they're not necessarily putting on the greatest matches, whereas in NXT, most of them are putting on really great matches, and that's I'm watching my main roster.
Break away from the groups is what they need to do.
We'll do a fantasy booking at a later time here, but Mutano, you're three.
I don't have three.
You got two?
Probably not.
Even if you
got
one.
You got one.
I'm just saying, I want to see Rollins come back as a face. That's one thing I want to see. Hopefully.
I don't think
there's any way he can.
I don't think there's any way that he comes back.
He's gonna get
the built-in storyline is you guys stopped caring about me after I got hurt, so screw you guys. I'm going to war with you, Triple H. That's essentially what the story's gonna be.
All right, Mr. Parrish, I want you to end off this first half on a good note here.
All right, number three, I want to see the women's title brought back to the WWE. And my idea to bring that back is a special on the network with the combination of NXT, WWE, whether it's Divas, and women wrestlers. Either way, the same thing. They have no dinks.
Hashtag better than Divas.
But at the same time, it's a 16-female tournament, and you abolish the Divas title, keeping the women's title in NXT there because it serves a purpose, but at the same time, no one's not allowed in it. You have your best female workers go in, and the winner is your women's champion, because it's about time that they start pushing the women as women and not divas, because anybody who has ever dated a girl rather dates a woman than a diva.
Yeah.
And anybody...
Wait, you dated a girl before?
Yes.
Did she know?
No, was that a female-shaped pizza?
She was called Kamala Henderson. It's okay.
Anyway, next.
The Palm Sisters.
Number two is I would love to see Finn Balor come out as the demon at WrestleMania in front of 100,000 people.
Texas Stadium.
On top of that, this is kind of a slash. I also want to see Bray Wyatt's entrance at nighttime in front of 100,000 people.
It's a dome, so it works even better.
It doesn't matter. It's both. You know, maybe they even have a match with each other. It doesn't matter. My number one thing I want to see in 2016 is I want to see longer, more meaningful feuds. As a viewer, I want to be invested more emotionally than physically. I can care less how many times you use a steel chair, a table, or a ladder. I want to see more of a reason why you're doing it. And at the end of the day, I will enjoy it much more.
Well, the problem, like, part of that is they don't book around the feud. They book around what's the next theme pay-per-view. That's a problem. You gotta take away the theme pay-per-views and just go back to having... Does having a theme pay-per-view make a difference these days?
One of my best angles I've ever seen in my life was WrestleMania 10. The opening match was Owen Hart beats Bret Hart. Your final match was Bret Hart beating Yokozuna for the WWF Heavyweight Championship, with Owen Hart standing in the aisle looking at all the baby faces who are celebrating with Bret Hart in jealousy, saying, why not me? He just beat him 2.5 hours ago, and he still is in the shadow. That, to me, is one of those emotional scenes that you don't have to explain with an announcing crew. And my honorable mention is Mauro Ranallo as
an announcer.
But at the same time, is I want those images where nobody needs to explain it to me because I understand it already.
Well, Mauro's just back. He's supposed to be doing pay-per-view too, so.
Okay.
Awesome.
folks. There is our part one of our Edmonton Sports Podcast Network award selections. Please make sure you stop in tomorrow, where we will discuss the indie portion of our award show with our same six guests as we discuss the best wrestlers, moments, feuds, and even some of the best botches of the 2015 wrestling scene on the independent circuit. And as well, we will have a special contest for all of our fans who have been so great to us here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. But in the meantime, just remember, if you get stuck in a corner, make sure you come out fighting. And this has been part one of our Canadian Four Corner Conversation year-end special on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been the Canadian Four Corner Conversation on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. For more details on the network, check them out on YouTube, iTunes, Facebook, WordPress, or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.